Hey everybody, welcome back to New Orleans. It's Tech at North America 2013 and it's Channel 9 Live. I have a guest. We're going to continue our international travels and actually continue the hemisphere that we've been in for the theme of the day appears to be Australian, but we're going to go to New Zealand. Hi Adam Hall, how are you?
Hey Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. Okay, what's the difference in the accent itself? Do you know the difference between the various regions of Australia, and are there differences in the various regions of New Zealand? Important stuff.
Yes, absolutely. There are variations in the Australian accent, and yes, there are variations around the New Zealand accent as well. And yes, I can tell the difference.
And yours is from which part of New Zealand?
I was born in Auckland, but lived in Wellington for many years as well.
Excellent, excellent. Yes. All right, Naz, right here. Naz. Okay, I have a challenge. The challenge is currently we've got one viewer in Estonia. We've got one viewer in Trinidad and Tobago. So the challenge is get on your phones, get on your instant messaging, get on Skype, everything else. We've got a contest. We've got 30 minutes here on a clock that's not running, and we will go ahead and we have a challenge for whoever can get more viewers. So it's Estonia versus Trinidad and Tobago. So there we go. All right, now we can talk about PCIT.
What are we talking about?
No, PCIT right, or something. It's an acronym.
Yes. People-centric IT.
People-centric IT. So when I hear people-centric IT, I'm thinking bring your own device.
Yep.
I'm thinking having to manage all sorts of devices in my environment.
Yep, absolutely.
There were a number of announcements made yesterday in the keynote, and
yes.
Some of them, I actually have to say, I was applauding backstage as I was sitting back there waiting with some of these things. So let's kind of cover off quickly with Windows Server 2012 and
sure.
System Center 2012
sure.
R2
yes.
In each of the product.
Yeah.
The enhancements that we made
sure.
Around PCIT or people-centric IT and kind of yep. the drivers behind that.
Got it. So people-centric IT is about bringing together a number of features, and they are across Windows Server 2012 R2, Configuration Manager 2012 R2, and Windows Intune. And it's all about helping our customers cope with the new devices coming into the environment. We've got so many more non-domain joined machines than we've had before. And we've moved from this model where customers knew everything about their computers. They were locked down, you came into work, you sat down, here's my PC, you did your work, and at the end of the day, you got up, you walked home, and that was the end of it. We're blending our work and our play lives together. And we've got iPads, we've got Android devices, we've got Windows RT, all of these kinds of devices that you can't manage in the same way. They're very different. And you can't apply group policy, you can't join them to a domain. And so the IT departments and the businesses are sitting there saying, how do I cope with this?
Yeah.
That is ultimately the problem that we're solving here. And so we've put a lot of investment into the BYOD scenarios and allowing customers to manage those devices and be able to authenticate not only you as the user coming into the environment, but the device you're using as well. And ultimately, we want to empower the users of those devices to be able to get their jobs done on those devices, but also make sure that the business and IT can still retain the control. The last thing you need is someone to grab one of those machines, download a document with sensitive information, mm-hmm. lose that device, leave it at an airport. No one ever does that, right? It gets
right.
stolen.
Yeah.
What happens next? It's a breach. That information ends up on the newspaper. It gets leaked to a competitor, whatever it is.
The plans of the Death Star end
it's
up
gone.
In the hands of the rebels.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so there's a number of features that we talked about. You saw in the keynote a new feature called Workplace Join. Which is going to be part of Windows 8.1 and then across to iOS and Android and other devices slightly after GA, which basically allows IT to allow you as a user of one of those devices to register it. And what that means is you're making it known to me as IT. Hi, I'm Joey, and this is my device. As IT, I can allow you to, say, access a file share, maybe it's a website, and say, Joey, enter your password, but only if you're on that device. If you try and log on from a different device, it won't work. And so we put a certificate on your device, mm-hmm. we put an object into Active Directory, and as you log on, we validate your device as well. And so it's all about device registration, it's about device authentication. Now, you got a question?
The question I have there now,
yeah.
with this device authentication, is this at this point in time where we say, as IT, much like in a domain joined environment. The thing is, in a domain joined environment, I know that that device has certain things.
Correct.
I know that it's got antivirus and malware.
Yep.
When we start talking about this scenario,
yep,
that brings in some unknowns to me.
It does, and there's still an element of management of that device, because authentication is great. Hey, it's Joey, and he's on his device, and yeah, I know about you, fantastic. But what's on that device, and how do I get information to it? And so we look up towards Windows Intune, and Windows Intune is our mobile device management solution, and the ability to push configuration and also do inventory and those kinds of things against the device. So now I know about Joey, I've authenticated that he's on a device I know about, and through Windows Intune, which also connects back down to Configuration Manager, now I've got all that information about your device. I can inventory it, I know what's on it, and I can give you access to applications through the company portal. And so now you can access resources, get all your line of business apps, we can sideload apps on, and be able to push down things like Wi-Fi profiles, VPN connections. So when you want to launch that app, it's got all the configuration data that goes with it, and when you connect through, it works.
I'm going to flip this, because another thing that we have to deal with in IT is user experience.
Yes.
It can't be super complicated, particularly when you're talking about a user's own device.
Correct.
So what does that experience look like?
Okay, so we've got, we're going to have a native company portal for each of the device platforms, Windows, iOS, and Android. And so it's going to be a native app. The iOS app looks like it's an iOS app, and the Android app looks like an Android app. And so for the user, it looks and feels just like another application on their device. But what it is a portal that gives them applications. They can see all the devices that they are managing. So if they've got multiple devices registered, they'll see all of those in a list.
Okay.
And if you lose one, you can say, please delete that one and don't let it work anymore. And it will do a selective wipe and get rid of all that corporate data, as well as contact information for IT. So if you've got a problem, you can have an email address and a phone number and those kinds of things coming through. So from a user experience, it just looks like another app on your device.
What is required from the back-end infrastructure side of things to make this happen? Because I'm starting, you got the gear spinning, right?
Yeah, it's all coming. All right. So this is where we get into the land of Windows Server 2012 R2. And we have a few new features here. The first one is at the boundary. We have a new feature of remote access called the Web Application Proxy. And as it is named, it is about giving users access to internal resources from external. Now, the web application proxy does pre-authentication at the boundary. As you and your device come in, you are challenged for your credentials. What is your username and password? Mm-hmm. Are you on a registered device? And we can integrate with multi-factor authentication through PhoneFactor, Windows Azure, ActiveAuth, or RSA or other tokens, right?
Okay.
So you come in, you'll be challenged for your credentials at the border. You have to get through that before you even get through there. So there's additional layers that are there.
And that portal is living?
That's on the edge behind.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's an edge role. You can put it behind a stateful firewall,
right,
but it is an edge role. One leg out to the outside world, one leg into the inside world.
Gotcha.
Now, typically most of the capabilities we're talking around BYOD include ADFS, so the ability to do claims-aware applications and conditional access. Joey can have access to that application or that service or that website, but only if he authenticates, meets the multi-factor authentication, and is on a registered device. It's not just a, hey, here's my username and password, and I'm straight through. We're putting you through additional ringers to make sure that it's okay. And so we put a lot of investment into ADFS. And in the past, ADFS has been hard.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Really hard.
It was a project I worked on. It was one of the last projects I actually worked on.
It was.
Prior to joining Microsoft. And,
yes,
and it was just extremely complicated.
It was. It was hard to deploy. It was hard to manage. And it was very hard to publish those applications out. So what we've done, ADFS has had quite a lot of investment done. It's really simple to deploy. It's now a top-level role within Windows Server. It's easy to deploy, easy to manage. And when you configure applications in ADFS, they are dynamically made available to the web application proxy. And the web application proxy consumes what used to be the ADFS proxy role. And so now when you want to publish something, you hit the publish button, and it gives you a list of everything that's available in ADFS. You just select the one you want, place the rules around it, and it's done. Even me, as a technical marketing kind of level guy, I'm dangerous when it comes to technology. I'm not super deep. I set up a claims-aware application, ADFS, the web application proxy, published it out all within about a half hour. Now, that used to take a good day or so to actually get deployed, configure it. I was able to do that in a very short space of time and make those apps available. Super simple.
There's one thing that I know a lot of folks, when we start talking about federation and syncing of IDs,
yep,
it used to be it was I'm just going to set up a dir-sync, right? Which we all know once you set up dir-sync, you usually can't really roll back very easily.
It's a one-way trip.
And that's the first step, right, to a whole bunch of other steps.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about kind of, you know, Federation dir-sync and those big differences and what's been done to,
absolutely,
to make it easier.
So there's a couple of things we'll cover here. One is with ADFS and the new web application proxy, connecting to Windows Azure AD is a lot easier. And there's two kind of models here. You've got the dir-sync model, which is about keeping two completely different directories in synchronization. Mm-hmm. You change on one side, you replicate it to the other, backwards and forwards. The Windows Azure AT, Windows Azure Active Directory team yesterday announced that they've got the new password hash sync. And what that does is now it synchronizes the passwords between Active Directory and Windows Azure Active Directory.
Okay.
And so you can maintain two completely different environments. When users hit that side or that side, the same credentials work. It's what we call the same sign-on. It's not single sign-on. It's just when you present your credentials for a cloud app or on-prem, they'll work, so long as that synchronization is happening. What ADFS does is makes them join together and says when you hit Windows Azure AD, it's going to check back and make sure that you're allowed through. And so if you have left the company and the dir-sync hasn't happened, or you need to block someone, or you want to apply some multi-factor or any other additional things, having two separate is good for the user and it's quick, but it doesn't allow you to control from a single source. And so really it comes down to, do you want to have two sources of the truth that are equivalent and are matched with each other, or do you want to have one source of truth that talks to another one? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of investment going on there as well.
So I've got all of that set up, and now I've kind of created that bridge. Mm-hmm. And it's always been a challenge in IT, because we're always, that main source of everything is Active Directory, whether that's user identities and passwords, it's group policy, it's all of those things. It's how I control my environment.
Yep.
It was difficult for us as IT to get our heads around, okay, now I'm going to take that main central of authority and I'm going to put it out where bad guys may be.
Yep.
Rightly or wrong. Wrongly, that's kind of an assumption that folks make.
Yep.
And now it's, okay, we've gotten past that. We've gotten through that.
Yes.
We've got some things in place in terms of easy device management. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't always ask for your users to come in and give up their device for 3 days.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Now, the next area of concern that I have from both an IT and a user perspective, and I play both roles because IT gets pounded with both roles, right?
Absolutely, you do.
And I'm still getting over this. I've got to let go of control, right? Brad mentioned this. He talked about BYOD being one of these things that users feel it's a right now, and it's not a privilege.
It is, and when we talk to recent college graduates and so on, they believe coming into the workforce that they should be able to just work on the device of their choice. They believe that they should be able to bring a device in and say, this is what I'm going to use to work at your company. You're not going to allow that? I'll go work somewhere else. I mean, they believe that that is what they should do. And so enabling IT to say, yes, we'll accept your device, but there are rules and regulations. There's always a toll to pay. Yes, you can have access to those resources. Yes, you can use that device. But you know what? We need to know about it. So please register it and you'll get access. It means that we know about it. It's in Active Directory. We can enforce multi-factor authentication and make sure that we validate that you are who you say you are. And if you leave, we do reserve the right to take that data back off again. Without those controls and without the Windows Intune management coming down, you can walk away and there's nothing we can do.
And you mentioned a point. We reserve the right to take our data back.
That's right, our data back. Not your data, our data. And the split between your data and work data is what we put a lot of work into. And so work folders is another data synchronization tool that came in. And the ability for us to say, yes, you can take your work files, put them down onto your device. We are going to encrypt them. If you leave, we are going to delete the key, which means that that no longer works. Mm-hmm. And so if you leave our organization, you can't access that data because you have no right to access it anymore. And so making sure that whatever data ends up on that BYOD device can at worst be rendered inaccessible and at best actually removed.
So now you brought up work folders.
Absolutely,
which immediately, the alarm starts sounding in my, is this glorified? Okay, first let's talk about it.
Yeah.
The data is actually on the device.
It is.
That scares me. Encryption or not, it still scares me because users sometimes aren't very good about making sure that the data that ends up on their device ends up back where it needs to be, where it needs to live, right? Backup.
It is. yep.
or you know archival purposes and some of those things.
Indeed.
And then there's that other component of
yeah.
Ah. yeah.
So Work Folders comes from the Windows Server file team, and they took the standard file server and added a new capability to it called a sync share. And what that is in R2 is the ability for me to define for you a folder on the file server that will synchronize to all your data. We've got a new sync protocol, and basically what happens is there's a client, and the client connects to the Work Folders server. It will then synchronize the files from the device to the server or from the server to the device and keep them in sync across all of your devices. Change a file on one device, it will pop on the other one. Just like SkyDrive Pro, when you change a file, it synchronizes everywhere.
Okay.
But we're doing this at the file server layer. And so what we do is IT can enforce policies and say, you must have a PIN code, or we're going to encrypt the data, or whatever those policies might be. And so you can synchronize it down, but we reserve the right to at least disable the data, if not remove it if we can, based on what the platform allows.
Okay.
But it does synchronize everywhere. And one of the big problems with files is, as you say, users store them on their C drive. They put them on their desktop.
Yeah.
There's no way I can ever get those back if you lose
exactly.
that device. It's gone.
Yeah.
That was one of the primary use cases that our customers came to us and said, how do we stop this? And in the past, we've had client-side caching, we've had folder redirection, which were good attempts at it, but they never really synchronized data. Mm-hmm. This is a genuine sync service which replicates across all of your devices controlled by the file server.
So it works regardless if it's an internal domain joined device
Correct.
Versus... my Surface RT that I'm connecting remotely
Correct.
From.
When you are domain joined, you can do Active Directory discovery and all sorts of cool things. You can configure and deploy it using group policy. So if you are just internal, you
yep.
can make magic happen and stuff just replicates everywhere. When you are on a BYOD device, you can just simply enter your email address, which in reality, for the technical people in the room, it's actually your UPN that matters, not the email address.
Correct, yeah.
it's the email address that you type in, and then you need the URL. And it's all HTTPS based. You just type in HTTPS, name of your work server here, and it will go and do a DNS lookup, find the server, and then start the synchronization process. It will warn you if there are policies to say, by synchronizing this data, I agree that you can remove it, and I agree that I now need to have a PIN code on my device. Just
mm-hmm.
like syncing mail to a phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to enforce policies. It means you've got to
yep.
type a PIN code when you unlock the device. That's all there is to it. It's just, but all it is files on a file server.
So there's another layer now. So we talk about the domain join situation. We talk about the
mm-hmm.
the remote device or the consumer-owned device or however else you want to, the BYOD scenario.
Yes.
And organizations allowing those devices in. There are still a lot of reasons and a lot of companies that will still not allow the data to reside on that device and applications to be installed on that device, yet we still want to enable worker scenarios on those devices. And one of the key things that I think about when I think about that, I'm thinking RDS,
yep.
VDI type of scenarios. What enhancements or changes have been made okay. on that side of things?
So in 2012 R2, we've mainly spent time on two areas. One is the reconnect time. And so for those of you who used RDS before and you drop a connection and it sits there saying reconnecting, try in one of 20, two of 20, and it can be sort of 60 to 70 seconds before it reconnects. We've got that down to single digit seconds. So it's sub 10 seconds reconnect. In addition to the user experience being a lot easier to understand, it doesn't just like drop it and then put this horrible message up saying, hey, everything's gone bad and now we're counting. It drops up and says, hey, we've lost the connection, we'll retry it. Oh, it's back before you can even do it. So much quicker time. There's also a lot of refinements in the UI. And so little things like when you're on a Windows machine with a remote app, you don't get the peak view coming out of the taskbar. And a lot of those little UI enhancements that were not major blockers, but they're just nice things that make the experience better for the end user. So there's a couple of things there. There's some additional support for things like DirectX 11.1 and some under the hood things that we've done around rendering and streaming rich content. But on the whole, the fast reconnect and then the polish around some of the user experience is really where we're focused across remote app, RDS, and then VDI for Windows client as well.
It's really kind of providing that experience that I would get in the office,
Correct.
no matter where I'm at.
It's for applications that are not available for that platform. Hey, I bought an iPad and we don't have an iPad app for that. Okay, we can do remote app and remote desktop on there. The ability to then also centralize information that you don't want to allow down. we don't want this data to leave our data center. The only way to get to it is to be in the office or to remote into the office. And RDS brings that capability as well.
So now let's circle back. We've talked about a lot of different technologies. We've talked about the ADFS functionality and those things and work folders.
Yep.
The ability for me to do that remote join scenario. The underlying infrastructure and the things that I need to, I want to adopt this technology as quickly as possible. Where are the major places I need to put my investment in upgrades to be able to do this?
So all of the so work folders, web application proxy, then the new ADFS are all Server 2012 R2. So those servers must be running Server 2012 R2. Some of the features within those products have schema upgrades for schema changes for Active Directory.
Okay.
They are available back at least as far as 2008.
So I don't have to be all the way up to a 2012 R2 directory to consume.
For most of the capabilities, that is a true statement. There are a couple of scenarios that do explicitly call out you need a 2012 Active Directory. Dynamic Access Control, for example, requires at least one Active Directory domain controller at 2012. Right. So some of those same caveats apply. But on the whole, the roles themselves need to be on 2012 R2, but we are supporting back to 2008. Active Directory for in specific, yeah.
So in most of the scenarios, I'm looking at one or two servers to upgrade. Obviously, there are those cases, but, and this is nice because it used to be in order to take advantage of it, you had to upgrade every server, Active Directory, and everything else. Just a whole ton of announcements here, so I want more details and more information. Where is the best place to send people to get some of that stuff? You did a session earlier. Yeah?
So we have a number of sessions that we're running here that are all on the new 2012 R2 sessions. They're in the catalog. If you have a look for these ones in particular, they are all under the Windows Client Access and Management track.
Okay.
There are tags for access and information protection. There are tags for VDI, remote desktop, desktop virtualization, and also a configuration manager in Windows Intune. And all of those sessions are there. We call out explicitly when it's an R2 session. So basically you can search on 2012 R2 and you will see the sessions that are specifically aligned to them. They are all available there. We have the preview bits coming available on June 26th. All these scenarios will be capable there. There'll be new TechNet library information. There'll be blog posts. There'll be loads of information and how-to guides to get going when those bits become available later in June.
Is there a blog post up currently with these new features? Or
I believe that there was a blog post put out that put the high-level information, and one just went out about an hour ago for people-centric IT, which actually encapsulates everything we've talked about. That is up on the it's on the Windows Intune server blog.
Awesome. So I've got to ask, Admiral Larry, how we doing? Have our users met the challenge? Trinidad wins because Estonia has dropped off. So our shout out to them. They decided to leave us. Apparently, they weren't all about people-centric.
It must be late in the day.
We've got more coming up for you at TechEd North America 2013, Channel 9 Live. We're going to send you guys off to our next session. I think that's about it. Stay tuned. We're going to send you back to a taste of TechEd. Stick around.